Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And we're going to have you turn to two different places in the Bible besides this. And we're going to read three different portions of Scripture as we stand and read the Bible. Let's do all of our reading, the main part of it, as far as our foundational verses for the message. And then, of course, we'll be using our Bibles throughout the evening. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, beginning in verse number 1. To everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under heaven, under the heaven, time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. By the way, young people, that time to embrace is after marriage. The time to refrain from embracing is before marriage. Number 6, a time to get. By the way, I'm serious about that. By the way, adults, I want you to back me on that. I want you to support that. I don't want anybody in here undermining that amongst our young people. I'll be coming to see you if you do. Amen. We're not changing things. We don't need you to go around propagating a new philosophy, dating philosophy amongst our young people. Especially people that weren't real successful at it themselves. I'm always a little mystified by the so-called experts that pretty much muff their chance, but they want to re-educate our young people. That was free. It is good, brother. It is good. These young people are precious around here. I don't want to buy a horse and around with things. I mean that. You want to see the preacher fighting mad, start going around our young people and wanting to reteach philosophies opposite of what's being taught from this pulpit. You keep your hands and your mouth away from our young people. You don't agree, you better disagree silently. You leave the young people alone. All right. Now we can go on. It is good. A time to get, a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to cast away, a time to rend, and a time to sow. By the way, it'd be good if some of you parents would get on board with what Pastor Gary's been teaching our young people. Our young people don't need to get into the boyfriend-girlfriend thing. They need to stay off the romance roller coaster. I know I'm like John the Baptist right now with some of you. I'm just a voice crying in the wilderness, but I'm going to keep crying. I can save you a bunch of heartache. I can save you a bunch of foolishness. I can help you. Your young people end up marrying in the will of God if you'll listen to me. All right. Now, I think I've got that on my system. Let's see. Time to get and a time to lose. I think I just lost it. Amen. So, time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. I want you to notice verse 8 because I wanted you to see this. Notice this. Maybe shocking to many of you. A time to love and a time to hate. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? Now let's go to Amos chapter number 5. Amos. If you have a Scofield Bible, that's 937. Amen. Page 9. If you don't have a Scofield Bible, good luck. Amos chapter number 5. Let's look at verse number 14. Amos, the little book of Amos, one of the major minor prophets. Amos chapter 5, verse number 14. Why Solomon wrote, there's a time to love, but there's a time to hate. Amos chapter number 5, verse 17, the prophet Amos writes, seek good and not evil, that ye may live, and so the Lord, the God of hosts, shall be with you as ye have spoken. Notice this, hate the evil and love the good, and establish judgment in the gate. It may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious unto the remnant of Joseph. Now listen, Israel's at a time where they need revival. You know what brings revival? Oh, Brother Jerry, what brings revival is learning to love good. Yes, that brings revival. That sure helps. That's half of it. But that's not all of it. Revival doesn't just occur in a nation when we learn to love good. Revival occurs when we learn to hate evil. There's a time to love and there's a time to hate. Now, if you'll look, please, at Hebrews chapter number 1. Hebrews in the New Testament. Hebrews chapter number 1. Hebrews chapter number 1. Let's look at verse number 1. We'll begin at the very first verse of the book of Hebrews. Chapter 1, verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, set down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Tell you what, if you just want to get a blessing, put your thinking cap on, read Hebrews chapter number 1. You can have a spell about anywhere in here. Verse 4, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they, for unto which of the angels said he, by the way, speaking of God, said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. This is God speaking about and to Christ. And verse 6, and again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire? But unto the Son he saith. Now who is he again? Do you know who he is? It's God, isn't it? God the Father. But unto the Son he saith, or God saith, thy throne what? Oh God, you know what? I love it when Jehovah Witnesses come to my door. I always help them have a little Bible study out of Hebrews chapter number 1. Usually, I follow them back to their cars. They're retreating, sharing these verses with them. Unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God. You know, when God calls Jesus God, that probably means that he's God. But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. God continues to speak to the Son, and he says this to the Son, thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. God said to Jesus, thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. I want to talk to you about this goal, and this ought to be your goal. Being a loving, hating Christian. Learning to be a loving, hating Christian. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I ask, Lord, that you'd meet with us. May we hit some reset buttons that need to be hit. May we dispel some misteachings that's often propagated. May we re-examine, and rightfully so, the character of our God so that we can properly understand Him. May we dispel some misconceptions about the people of God. I pray, Lord, more than anything, help us to rightly divide the Word of God. Use this time, Lord, to get us where we ought to be. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen, and you may be seated. Amongst the world, and I believe even amongst many Christians, there's a misconception about the character of God. You hear an awful lot, and rightfully so. Let me first of all say, praise God, rightfully so. We hear an awful lot about the love of God. You know what? God just is not a God of love. The Bible says that God is love. Thank God that He loved us. Don't ever get over John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. We would be going to hell if it wasn't for the love of God. We'd be a mess if it wasn't for the love of God. Thank God that He loves us. But there's a misconception in the world about the character of God. So much is being preached, and so much is being propagated, and so much is being said about the love of God. And that's great, and I'm for it, and I certainly encourage it. But let me say this, it should not be separated, it should not be absent from also the balanced teaching of the fact that there are things that God hates. And because we have a misconception about God, we often times also have a misconception, the world does, and many Christians do, about God's people. You men at the workplace, have you ever got angry about something? And I don't mean lose your temper over something foolish or silly. I'm talking about get angry over something that you ought to have gotten angry about. And had somebody say, oh man, you got mad. You're not supposed to get mad. You're a Christian. Well, that's a misconception. By the way, by their very words, if they understand what they said, they'd understand that that was an inaccurate statement. Christian means Christ-like. I could take you tonight to many places in the Gospels where Jesus got angry. Let me say this, if you're going to be a Christian, then there's going to be some, if you're going to be Christ-like, there's going to be some things that make you angry. But the world's kind of got this idea that a Christian's just supposed to go around and be always overflowing with love and happiness and never be mad about anything, upset or anything, and heaven forbid, never hate. I mean, Christians don't hate. Christians are not supposed to hate anything. Well, that's just simply a lie. That's not what the Bible says. I want to be a loving Christian, but can I say this? I also want to be a hating Christian. Now let me just say right off the bat, because I need to get this across so that I'm not misunderstood. Nowhere in the Bible will you ever find that it's okay for a Christian to hate another human being. Let me just say that right off the bat. Thank God that God hates sin but loves sinners. And we as Christians, we ought to mimic our God. We ought to be godly. And by being godly, what that means is we mimic what the character of God. And we've got to be careful sometimes in our zeal to be against things. We become against people, and God's just not like that. For instance, let me say this. I hate the sin of homosexuality, but I do not hate homosexuals. And we've got to be careful. Gentlemen, are you hearing me? Young men, are you hearing me? We've got to be careful. I hate the sin of abortion, but I don't hate those that had an abortion. And I don't even hate the doctors that perform the abortion. I hate what they do, but I do not want to get to the point where I start hating them. We need to pray for them. We need to love them. We need to ask God to save them. You know, the best way, I would think, to shut down all the abortion clinics might be to win all the abortion doctors to Jesus Christ. And that's probably not going to be done by hating them. Amen? We got to be careful about that. We got to be careful that we don't bleed over. So I wanted to say that. But let me say this. There are some things that we ought to hate as Christian. Now, let me make some statements in introduction and we'll get into the outline. Let me just make a few statements. Number one, it is impossible to truly love righteousness without hating iniquity. It's impossible to truly love righteousness without hating iniquity. The people that say, well, I love right and I love good, but I'm not going to hate anything. You really don't understand love. I mean, how can I go to the hospital? How can I go up to Riley Hospital and truly love them children without hating the cancer? How can I love them children without hating the leukemia? How can I love them children without hating the disease that has afflicted them? By essence, folks, if we are going to love right, we have to hate wrong. Number two, let me give you this. The depth of the love of God for the souls of men is matched by the depth of His hate for the sins of men. Well, we need to understand that. God hasn't gone soft on sin. The depth of the love of God for the souls of men is matched by the depth of His hatred for the sins of men. God hates sin. God hates sin. You know what? It was the sins of mankind that put His Son on the cross. It was the sins of mankind that made God turn the lights off for 3 hours while Jesus paid for them sins on Golgotha's hill. It was the sins of mankind that caused the Father for the first time in all of eternity to break fellowship with the Son and to turn His back on His own Son, to pour out His wrath and His fury on His own Son. You know what that was? That was over our sins. God loves us, but God hates our sin. Let me give you number three. Christ's likeness. Now this is where it's getting down to where we live. Christ's likeness is not achieved when we choose to love righteousness. It is achieved only when we choose to love righteousness and also choose to hate iniquity. Now this is what God said about His Son. He said this about Jesus, "Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity." And that means if I'm going to be Christ-like, then I do need to have an endearing love for right, but a divine hatred for iniquity, for sin. Now, look at me, church, for a minute. You know what our problem is? We love right, or think we do, but we've kind of made peace with it, with sin. We haven't allowed ourselves and made ourselves stay the avowed enemy of sin. You know why there's so many sins that have crept into the lives of Christians? Because you haven't decided to hate those sins. If you hated those sins, you wouldn't participate in those sins. Well, Brother Jerry, you know, I don't do this personally, but I'm not going to be so hard on it that if there's people that are doing it, I'm going to... Now, wait a minute. You're going soft. You're heading down the path of compromise. You're going to end up a liberal. Listen, it's not just a matter of you choosing to do right and loving right. It's a matter, I didn't say of hating people, but you need to hate the wrong. You need to hate the iniquity. Don't make peace with that. Well, you know what? It may be wrong for me, but it might be okay for them. You know what? You just, by saying that, you just told me you have been thoroughly brainwashed with humanism. You have become a humanist. Let me say this. If the Bible says it's wrong for you, it's wrong for your family members, it's wrong for your neighbors, it's wrong for the other church members, it's wrong for the world, it's wrong for everybody. And you know what? I'm going to love what is right, and I'm going to hate what is wrong. I'm going to love what is right, and I'm going to hate what is wrong. You know how, listen, if you've got a trouble with your mouth, you've got a trouble with cussing, you know how the easiest way to overcome that? Learn to hate cussing. You got a trouble with booze, you know how the way to overcome that? Learn to hate booze. You got trouble, listen, you got trouble with lying, let me tell you how to overcome that. Hate lying. Never excuse it. Listen, what the problem is God doesn't want us as Christians just to learn to love right. He wants us to hate iniquity. And that's what He bragged about His Son. That's why He gave Him an anointing of the Holy Spirit above His fellows. He did that because He was rewarding His Son, because no one on the planet ever loved right more than Jesus did. But no one on the planet ever hated iniquity more than Jesus hated iniquity. Now folks, we're supposed to love right, but we're also supposed to hate wrong. Number four, let me say this. Holy Spirit fullness is not achieved by just loving righteousness. It is fully achieved when we also hate iniquity. Now, I gave the title on purpose, and it was meant to provoke thought. It was meant to be a little shocking, but let me say this, that it's absolutely 100% biblically accurate. I want to be, number one, a loving Christian, but I also want to be a hating Christian. I want to love the things that God loves, and I want to hate the things that God hates. And I don't want to compromise in either area. I don't want to get comfortable around sin. I don't want to compromise with sin. I don't want to make a friendship with sin. I don't want to start excusing sin. Wrong is 100% wrong, and right is 100% right. Right is to be loved, and wrong is to be hated. And that's the teaching. That is the teaching of God's precious Word. Say, Brother Jerry, are you saying that as a Christian I'm supposed to be a loving Christian, but I'm also be a hating Christian? Yeah, that's exactly right. Let me help you in some areas. All right, number one, as a loving, hating Christian, learn to love God and learn to hate the devil. Learn to love God and learn to hate the devil. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to use our Bible some tonight. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 10. Brother Jerry, do you love God? I love Him. That's the first commandment That's the very first commandment, the greatest commandment in the Bible. That is priority number one commandment, to love our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. We are to love God. But let me say this. It's not enough to love God. You ought to also hate the devil. Number one, I love God, but let me say this. I also hate the devil. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Let me give this to you, thought to you folks. God is our friend, but Satan is our enemy. Our enemy. I love the things of God. I hate the things of the devil. I love the person of God. I hate the person of the devil. I hate the devil so much, sometimes I'll throw things, I'll yell, I'll scream. I'm so sick and tired of watching the devil destroy people's lives. If you think you can make friends with the devil, you're kidding yourself. You think you can make peace with the devil, you're kidding yourself. The devil is our avowed enemy. 1 Peter chapter number 5. Let's go there. You know where we're going, don't you? 1 Peter chapter number 5. Let's look at this. 1 Peter chapter number 5 and verse number 8. If this isn't marked in your Bible, you need to mark it. This takes the mask off the devil. This tells you what he's all about. This is Beat the Devil Sunday. Folks, you can't beat the devil if you've joined his team. You can't beat the devil if you've gone soft. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, your avowed enemy, your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. I want you to look up here and I want you to look around when I ask this question. Think about it before you answer. Think about it before you raise your hand. How many of you have watched, I mean close up and personal, you have watched the devil devour somebody very close to you, somebody that you love? I mean, he has, that word is accurate in the person you're thinking of, that he has completely devoured them. Would you raise your hand? Well, why in the world, listen to me, then why in the world, how in the stinking world can you have anything in your house that would promote the devil? Why in the world and how in the world would you participate in anything that has even a remote connection to demonology? Why in the world would you listen to music that promotes his agenda? I'm not making peace with the devil. I hate the rascal. I've watched him take young people and literally devour it. I'm talking about right in front of my eyes over a few months period, absolutely devour them, destroy their life. And you know what? Because I love people, I hate the devil. Because I love God, I hate the devil. Anything that smells of brimstone, you know what? I want to burn it. I want to blow it up. I want to destroy it. Young people, if you go through your music collection and you just say, I'm going to listen to all of it, anything that promotes anything that the devil likes, I'm going to get rid of it. You know what? I'd never have to preach another sermon against music. Learn to hate the devil. Learn to hate the devil. Learn that. Well, Brother Jerry, but we're Christians. Yeah. And Christians hate the devil. Christians love God, but they hate the devil. Now, don't get soft on this. Listen, I love God, therefore I hate the devil. Let me give you another one. If you want to be a loving, hating Christian, then you should love the gospel of Jesus Christ and hate every false way. You should love the gospel of Jesus Christ and hate every false way. Let's go back to Psalm 119, 119th Psalm. Again, I want you to see this. Because I think you would be shocked if you opened your concordance and you look up the word hate and you did a Bible study. I think you would find out that this book that promotes the love of God also has a lot to say about having the proper hate relationship with certain things that ought to be stood against. Psalm chapter 119, 119th Psalm. Look at verse 163. Psalm 119. I'm sorry. Let's go to verse number 104. I looked at the wrong ones. Verse 104, Psalm 119, 104. Notice this. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate, watch this, every false way. Look at Psalm 128. I'm sorry, Psalm 119, verse 128. Psalm 119, verse 128. Therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. You know what he's saying? He's saying, listen, when I read the Bible, I understand the precepts, I understand the right way, I understand the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you know what? As I learn to love the gospel, learn to love the right way, I hate the false way. Psalm 128, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right. If the Bible teaches it, then that's right. And if somebody else is teaching opposite, then that's wrong. And you know what? I hate that. I hate that. Now go to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. Young people, listen to me. Get rid of all... I didn't hit this probably as thoroughly as I should have. But when I'm talking about hating the devil, get rid of all this gothic stuff. I don't care what the popular thing is. Christian young people should be walking around with black t-shirts with skulls on them. What in the world's wrong with us? Get rid of all this stuff that smacks of Satanism. Get rid of all that borderline stuff that lets people think that you might be on the wrong team. I was shocked. I don't go to the stores much. I'll just tell you, I don't go to the stores much. My wife does the shopping. Thank God for that. Praise God. Thank God. I'll gladly hand her the money every single week to do it. I mean, the only stores I'm interested in is Gander Mountain, Bass Pro Shop, and those type of places where God's people congregate from time to time. But every once in a while, and just recently, we've gone to Walmart a few times. And again, I mean, I don't even hardly ever walk into Walmart. But I was shocked when I walked through the beginning of the school year and looked at the satanic symbols and the Satanism that's throughout the clothing of both our young ladies and our young men. It ought to scare us to death. Now, I expect that in the world, but we should never see that on a child of God. Don't get involved in that stuff. Now, love the gospel. I got on a little sidetrack there, but I wanted to finish that out. Love the gospel, but hate every evil way. Now, look at what God inspired Paul to write about false religions, false gospels. Galatians chapter 1. I want you to really listen. I'm talking about maybe some new Christians. You may not understand. Now, I want you to just look at what the Bible says, because you need to understand some things. Well, Brother Jerry, I go to a Baptist church, but I'm not against all the other churches. I'm for our religion, but I'm not against the other religions. I don't think it's right that we should preach against other churches. They may preach things a different way than we do, but I think we're all God's children. You know what? You're very naive and you're very wrong. Because there is those churches that preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and then there are churches. I'm talking about they got a sign out front and it says church, but if you walk in, they are teaching a false way. David said, I hate the false way. I hate the false way. Now notice what Paul said about this in Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. There are gospel perverts. And what they've done is they've taken the pure gospel and they've perverted it and they've changed it and they're teaching a false way to heaven. A false way to heaven. Now notice what Paul said in verse 8. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preaching any other gospel unto you, than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Now what's the gospel? The gospel is the good news. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The gospel is the finished work of Jesus Christ. The gospel is salvation by grace through faith. Oh, Brother Jerry, I know some good Christians, but they believe in a work salvation. No, you know some lost people. No, you know some lost people that are following a false way and are going to end up in hell. You're not going to stand before God one of these days and say, well, yeah, I believed in Jesus, but I also believed that I had to do this, this, and this to get to heaven. Here I am, God. And God said, well, you were trusting in your works. You weren't trusting the finished work of Christ. Apart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. Brother Jerry, are you against the teachings of some of the people, some of the men of the cloth, some of the reverends that share this town with you? Absolutely. Preacher gets up in his pulpit and says, basically, guess what? When you get to heaven, there's going to be a big set of scales. There's no scales in heaven. He said, I'm sorry, Brother Jeff, there's no scales in heaven.
Not that kind of scale. Scales. There's going to be a big set of scales. And God's going to take all of your good and put it on one side, and all of your wrong put it on the other side. And if your good outweighs your bad, then you know what? You're going to go to heaven. Now go out this week and do good. Do good, because one of these days you're going to meet God. I'm talking about sincere people. I'm talking about good people. I'm talking about people that are think they're doing right, are walking in churches all over this community, sitting there and listening to that kind of preaching, and they go out every week and they try to do more good, and they keep thinking, you know what, in their mind, I know I've blown some things, but I think I've done enough good. When I stand before God, I think I'm going to be all right. I think I'm going to be all right. And that man is a false teacher. That man is a false prophet. That man is teaching a false way. Because when you stand before God, God is not going to weigh the good and bad. God is going to say, I sent my Son to die on the cross for your sins. He was buried and rose again. You, in order to be saved, needed to put your complete faith and trust in what He finished on the cross of Calvary for you. If you're standing there saying, accept me or let me in because of my goodness, then guess what? You're not going in. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin hath left a crimson stain. He washed it white. So I give this illustration. I hope this will help some of you new converts. You say, Brother, I don't know about this thing. Let me say this. I hate that kind of preaching. I hate that false doctrine. I hate churches, the churches and the teachings of those churches that say, you know what? You need to pray to Mary. And if you ask Mary to talk to Jesus, Mary will get your sins forgiven. Here, put this wafer in your mouth and you'll go to heaven. Drink this juice and you'll go to heaven. Confess your sins to a man that sits in a closet and everybody calls him father, but he's dressed like a mother. And he'll forgive your sins. Listen. That is wrong, it's wicked, it's false, and all of those people can sincerely do those things and go home and then sit there and count their lucky beads and think they're going to heaven, but the honest truth is they're going to split hell wide open because of a false way, false teaching. And I hate the false way. I hate that false kind of preaching. I hate that perverted gospel. That's why I'm not joining the ministerial association. That's why shame on him. I'm sorry, but shame on Billy Graham and everybody like him that wants to throw a wide net and put all of these... Listen, to have Roman Catholics on your platform with you? Say, well, we're going to cooperate. We're going to work together. We're going to find common ground. I don't have any common ground with them. There's the gospel, and then there's another gospel. There's the true gospel, and there's the perverted gospel. You know what? I love the gospel, and I hate every false way. Wow. Wow. Some of you looking like a calf looking at a new gate. Amen. Wow. Amen. We need to just say what needs to be said tonight. God didn't say, I'll tell you what, there's 15, 20 ways to heaven. I hope y'all just pick one and we'll all end up in the same place. No, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. But by me. But by me. That means there's nothing I can do. He's done it all. I got to trust Jesus, my only hope for heaven. Or I'm in trouble. I'm not going to be saved. I'm talking about the rascal, that false teacher that this morning got up and told his people. And thank God we baptized some converts this morning. But let me tell you something. A man that stands behind the pulpit and says, you know what, if you want your sins washed away, you come up here and we'll take you in there and we'll dip you in the water. And the water will wash your sins away and you'll go to heaven. People are trusting in a baptism to get them to heaven. You know what? That man's teaching a false way. Now, I'm not going to compromise with it. I'm not going to say, well, I love what we preach, but I'm not really against. No, I'm absolutely 100% against. I love the gospel. I hate false teaching. I hate false doctrine. I hate perverted gospels. I'm not making peace with them rascals. You know why? Because a lot of people, I give this illustration a lot, and maybe it'll help you understand. I said, you know, when we had a fire in our school, when the school was downstairs, if we had a fire break out, we hit the fire alarm and the building was in flames. I mean, the entire top floor was in flames. It was getting ready to collapse down on the basement, on your children, on my children. And I was standing back here at this back door and yelling at the kids to come this way and trying to shoot them out into safety. And I looked down the hallway and Brother Reiser had a door open to a classroom, a dead-end classroom. And he was standing there hollering with equal zeal, with equal persuasion, and trying to convince young people to go into that room with no escape, where if they go into that room, the building's going to collapse on them and they're going to die. Let me tell you something. I wouldn't be at that end down there saying, well, I'm preaching what I believe and he's preaching what he believes. And we've got to love everybody and we've got to love everything. And you know, maybe we just see things a little different. No, no. I love the kids around here. Let me tell you something. I'd be screaming at the top of my lungs. Don't listen to him. He's lying to you. He's telling you wrong. Come this way. This is the way to get out. I'm certainly not going to have that happen and then go to the ministerial breakfast with him the next morning. Well, we're all serving God. That's a bunch of baloney. Now, folks, that's what's happening. That's what's happening. Many of you in this room have had loved ones, people that you love with all your heart, grandmas and grandpas, uncles and aunts that sat in their churches and fully trusted in false teaching. And you know what? Because of that, and let me tell you something, that man that spends his life preaching that is going to stand before God. The Bible says, let him be accursed. You know what that means? That means, you know what? Hell's not going to be hot enough for somebody to spend their life preaching and teaching a false way. Now, folks, listen to me. If I'm going to love the gospel, then I'm going to have to hate every false way. We need to get off this thing that, you know what? We're just going to reach across the aisle and we're just going to embrace those that preach a little bit different gospel. No, I'm not embracing them. Well, you have to accept. No, I'm not accepting anything. I love the gospel. I hate every false way. Let me give you this. Go to Psalm 101. Now, folks, your preacher's trying to help you tonight. Because if you're not careful, you start developing misconceptions about the character of God. See, some of you are listening to liberals. You're hanging around liberals, and you're going to be a liberal. You're hanging around a bunch of people that say, you know what? That church down there, Bledsoe Baptist Church, they're just too strict. They're just too stern. They don't love people. They're isolation. Listen, amen. You say it all. Say everything you want to say. But we're preaching the gospel. And we're preaching against those that don't preach the gospel. We love God and we hate the devil. We love the gospel. We hate every false way. Look at Psalm 101. Look at the first three verses. I will sing of the mercy and judgment to Thee, O Lord, will I sing. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. O, and without coming to me, I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave unto me. Go to Ephesians chapter number 5. Remember that. I hate the work of them. Turn aside. I didn't say I hate those that turn aside. He said I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave unto me. Look at Ephesians chapter number 5. If you will, look at verse number 23. Ephesians 5:23. Notice what it says here. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands and everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Let me give you this. I love the church, therefore I hate quitting. I didn't say I hate quitters, I hate quitting. I love the church. Brother Jerry, how much am I supposed to love the church? Well, the Bible told husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Wives, let me ask you this. If your husband loved you as much as you loved your church, how would you be doing? Because that's the comparison here. Jesus loved the church so much he gave himself for it. You know what? Can I say this? I love Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Well, you don't understand, Brother Jerry. That word church there is talking about the universal church. That great invisible church that we're all a member and a body of. You know what? You need to get your theology straightened out.
The word church means a called out assembly. One of these days, yes, we're going to be a called out assembly after the rapture. We're all going to gather together and then we'll be the body. We'll be the church. But right now, you know what church means? It means right now, 7 o'clock. Sunday night means 9:30. 10:30 Sunday morning means Wednesday, 7 o'clock. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Some of you need to study your Bible and stop listening to liberals. Christ died for the church. I love Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I love the church. I love the church. You know what? Because I love the church, I hate quitting. I hate the sin of quitting. You know, if we could, now we've said this before, if we could go back the 35-year history of Blessed Hope Baptist Church and every single person that was one here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church and baptized in those waters and joined this church, but at some point quit. If we went back, and some of them quit and didn't go to church anywhere, and some of them quit and went to a liberal church. If every single one of them would have just stayed the course, we'd have had to have an auditorium 10 times this size to hold them all. I'm not exaggerating. 10 times the size to hold them all. You know what quitting has done to the local New Testament churches in America? Devastated them. I hate the sin of quitting. Brother Jerry, you ever tempted to quit? Why in the world would I want to engage in something I hate? I get in a foul mood when someone starts talking about quitting. When the devil tempts me to quit, it makes me mad. Shame on you for quitting God. Shame on those people that were saved in this church, baptized. You know what? I don't understand this. I'm telling you, I don't understand it. How the church that God used to win you and to win your children to Christ and keep you out of hell, but you know what? A handful of things happen or something said you don't quite agree with. Next thing you know, you just quit. You don't understand, brother. I had my feelings hurt. Well, that's never happened to me. That's never happened to Pastor Ross. That's never happened to Charles English. That's never happened to Don Mowry. Why don't you grow a thick skin? Brother, we're in a war. I mean, think about what could be accomplished in this area if it wasn't for quitting. You don't have a right to quit on God. You don't have a right to quit on God. I've watched adults get discouraged, walk out, quit. I've also watched what's happened to their children. You go ahead and say anything you want to say, but I'm going to tell you something. If God carries, and God gives me grace, and God gives me His protection, I intend on being right here 10 years from now, right here 15 years from now. Just come back, knock on my door, come see me, and tell me how things turned out after you quit on God. Now, the problem is you need to get away from people that's filling your head with a bunch of poison. You need to decide that you're going to hate the sin of quitting. You're going to hate the sin of... I didn't say hate people that quit. I don't ever see a person that used to go to Blessed Hope Baptist Church and look at them and say, man, I hate them. I'm brokenhearted for them. I weep for them. I love them. To me, they're still a part of us. It's just not here. But I hate the fact that they quit. I hate what they've done. What they've done to themselves, what they've done to the family, their family, and what they've done to Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I hate it. I wonder how many missionaries we'd be supporting right now if it wasn't for quitters. I wonder how many bus routes we'd be running if it wasn't for quitters. I wonder how many buildings we would have built if it wasn't for quitters. I wonder how many of their children would be preaching the gospel right now if they hadn't quit when they were 9, 10, 11, 12 years of age. Let them go to the devil. I hate the sin of quitting. Don't come to me with your excuses. There's no excuse to quit. Don't come to me and say, well, Brother Jerry, you got to understand. No, I'm not going to understand because I'm not going to make peace with it. I love the church. I hate quitting. I love the church. I hate quitting. All over this community, there's people that I think, I really believe, are honestly saved. And for years, they've sat and done nothing for God. They sat on home on Sundays. every once in a while they wander in and out of a church to pacify their conscience a little bit. They take all of the abundance and all of the money that God has given to them, and they don't put one penny towards missions, one penny to put a drop of gas in a bus to see what we saw this morning, people come to Jesus Christ. They don't support missionaries. They don't come support the preacher. They don't support the ministries. They don't serve in the ministries. Quitters cripple the work of God. They cripple it. So you know what? I hate it. I hate it. That's one sin if you commit. Listen, I'm going to love you no matter what, but I hate that sin. I don't have hardly any respect for a quitter. No, brother, you don't understand. No, you don't understand. You don't get it. There's something big going on here. This area needs this church. This area needs the outreach ministries of this church. The world needs missionaries. Your children need what's being preached here. Now go ahead, just quit. Go out. Go out. Get to some little liberal church and get comfortable and sit there and spend the rest of your life going, ying, 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 that blessed old baptist. Go ahead. Go someplace where people are never baptized and souls are never saved and nothing's ever done, nothing's ever preached, and nothing's ever stood before. Go ahead. Just go ahead. But I'm going to tell you something. You're going to stand before God one of these days, and you're going to answer to God for what you could have been a part of here and how much more it could have accomplished for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, I can help a bunch of you right now. If you're hanging around people that have a negative spirit and is always pecking away at you, trying to get you to quit on God, you need to get away from them. They are not your friend. They are the enemies of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, when they call, look at your ID and don't answer it. When they knock on your door, don't come to the door. They write you a letter, throw it in the trash. Stop letting a bunch of rebel heathens influence you and rob your children of having a possibility of being something for God down the line. And boy, this preacher needs to say this. I need to stand right here and say this tonight. Listen, folks, I love the church, therefore I hate quitting. I love souls, and therefore I hate sin. I don't want you to forget what was said there in Hebrews. You see, there's a special pleasure that God gets from watching a Christian that loves right and hates wrong. There's a special Holy Spirit anointing that God will give a preacher that doesn't just preach the positives, but has enough backbone to say the things that need to be said and preach against the things that need to be preached against. I'm more concerned about being anointed with oil of gladness than I am popularity amongst carnal Christians. You can do whatever you want to do. You can say whatever you want to say. But I'm going to tell you something. There's a judgment seat. And what the preacher said tonight, I'm 100% right about. I'm 100% right about. Now, folks, listen to me. I want you to be a loving Christian. I talk a lot about being a loving Christian. You know what that means? Love people. But being a loving Christian doesn't mean you start loving the devil. Being a loving Christian doesn't mean you start loving the false way. Being a loving Christian doesn't mean you start loving quitting. Being a loving Christian doesn't mean you start loving sin. It means you love God, so you hate the devil. It means you love the gospel, so you hate every false way. It means you love the church house, so you hate quitting. And it means you love souls, so you hate sin. And you know what? I pray that you'll become a loving, hating Christian. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, you'd put some fire back in us, put some backbone back in us. Lord, we're being so worn away by the liberals and the evangelicals and the churches that have hung a sign out in the foyer. Everything goes. Sin's not on the menu. Nothing's preached against. Everybody's good and everybody's fine. That's not the Bible. That's not the message of God's Word. And I pray, Lord, that you'd stir us in this matter of loving you like we've never loved you before and hating those things that we ought to hate like we've never hated them before. Lord, I'd like to see a young lady. I'd like to see a young man salvaged. I'd like to see some children given a chance again. I'd like to see some Christians that need to get right with God, on their face get right with God. I'd like to see, Lord, you do a work, Lord, in the lives of
people. God, help us to be what we ought to be, stand for what we ought to stand for, say what we ought to say, love people, but hate those things that are destroying. Lord, I pray, God, that you'd protect us. Well, we had Beat the Devil Sunday. Lord, I hope I whacked him a few times tonight. He's the orchestrator of all these things. He's the one that's running around behind the scenes, preaching a false doctrine, trying to get the wrong kind of music, trying to get the wrong kind of entertainment, putting excuses into Christians' minds about there's nothing wrong with this, there's nothing wrong with that. He's the great critic of holiness and purity and righteousness in the right way. He's the propagator of sin and the hater of those that do right. I pray, Lord, that some folks would just choose to be on God's side tonight. Put behind them and away from them those people that want to dabble in carnality, that want to walk a false path, that want to have a critical spirit about the things of the Bible and the things of God. Lord, help us to be as Jesus was. Help us to love righteousness and hate iniquity. Pray these things in Jesus' name.